Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2026 in the Gregorian calendar and the 5th of Nisan, 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. We have some on-the-ground reports for you in this podcast episode. Now, let's get to the news. Before we get to our ground reports, we have a report that could be groundbreaking. U.S. President Donald Trump says the United States is holding, quote, productive talks with a top Iranian official aimed at a ceasefire and broader deal. He announced a five-day pause on planned U.S. strikes against Iranian energy infrastructure to allow negotiations to continue. Trump says the goal is clear: no nuclear weapons for Iran and long-term stability in the Middle East. He adds that Iran may accept limits on enrichment. However, Iran's Speaker of the Parliament, publicly denied that any direct talks are even taking place, calling it fake news and adding a second part of his tweet, which said, and this was the second part, no negotiations have been held with the U.S. and fake news is used to manipulate the financial and oil markets and escape the quagmire in which the U.S. and Israel are trapped. Israel has not commented on this so far, but reports are out that the state, the IDF that is, has so far destroyed 330 of Iran's 470 missile launchers. We are going to keep our eyes and ears open on this story. Sunday, the Israel Daily News team went down and went out all over Israel reporting and getting footage from the scenes of three missile impacts. It was a hectic day, and by the end of it, I had seen enough destruction to last a lifetime. The ride home in the car with fellow journalists and videographers was interesting. I was a little blue. One of us was feeling positive from a successful day of recording, one was making dark humor jokes about the status of our country and the world, and one sat in total and complete silence. I was somewhere in the middle. I think I was processing, and I believe that what my body had come up with after my mind had been likely doing some background assessments all day was, well, this is not good. And I had planned to write the newsletter on Sunday as always, but I got a call from a colleague who wanted to change our work meeting to Monday so she could go down south to the site of Arad and Dimona, which had been targeted and decimated by an Iranian ballistic missile Saturday night. Well, an hour later, I was walking downstairs to get into the car with all of my gear and to enter the vehicle with her and our other friends from the industry, and that is when an alarm rang out. I went into the shelter of the hotel near me. The one inside of my building is not up to code, so I only go in there if it is a last-minute emergency and I don't have time to get to a better shelter. Once in the shelter, my neighbors noticed that I had shown up to the safe room with camera gear and a yoga mat, which I brought with me in case there was a missile attack and I had to exit the car on the highway and get down on my belly and cover my head with my hands, because that's what you do if there's no shelter. It had been raining heavily, and I wanted to have something to lie down on in case I had to exit the vehicle on the highway and it was flooded and muddy and wet. Well, one thing that really makes me uncomfortable during wartime is the sheer lack of privacy, and I wanted to write about this because I think it's important to share the little nuances of what's going on here. If you have to enter a shelter in a public space, everyone sees what you look like when you're not made up, what your mood is at midnight, who you spend your time with, and where you're going, and what you're doing. And despite I'm a public figure, I happen to be a private person. And during wartime, privacy doesn't exist. I found myself introducing my videographer to my neighbors, explaining why I had camera gear and a yoga mat with me, and then dealing with the anxiety of the concerned looks and notes from my neighbors in the shelter. One cautioned me against going, and I had already spent an hour battling my anxiety over the decision. When we came out of the shelter, we learned that a cluster bomb had already hit Tel Aviv in multiple areas during those 15 minutes that we were in the shelter. On our way out of the city, we made a stop at one of the scenes of a destroyed house where a cluster munition fell and destroyed all the flights inside one specific house. It was totally destroyed, but the houses on either side were not. Cluster munitions are where a ballistic missile breaks off into pieces in the area in an effort to create a maximum opportunity for death and destruction in different areas around. These missiles are more difficult for Israel to intercept with its defense systems. We would later see entire blocks and communities destroyed from full missiles that dug into the ground and exploded. Our crew magically, and I believe with God's help, made it to all the sites on our list for photography. When we wrapped up, we had our first siren alarm of the afternoon since we started shooting. And that was when we were at a cafe that we stopped in at to grab some food and upload our video to our respective editors. We sheltered in the mall safe room, and when we came out, we ordered, ate, and worked on our videos, and then we hit the road again. Let me take you now to the numbers and the news on these sites. Some 200 people, including many children, were injured after Iran launched two ballistic missiles at southern Israel on Saturday night into Sunday morning, directly hitting residential compounds in the cities of Arad and Dimona in the Negev Desert. This is one of the most serious and widespread strikes to happen in Israel during the war so far. On top of the high number of civilian injuries, the missiles bypassed air defenses and landed near the Negev Nuclear Research Center in Dimona. The good news is that there have not been reports of radiation leaks. All the people injured were transported to Soroka Hospital in Be'er Sheva. This was declared a mass casualty event. On Sunday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited both impact sites and addressed the foreign press in English. Let's hear what he had to say.
If anyone needed an explanation of why Iran is the enemy of civilization and the enemy and the danger to the entire world, you got it in the last 48 hours. In the last 48 hours, they fired a terror weapon on civilians, on children. There's a children's nursery here. There's an old person's home here. Civilians, families, they fire terror weapons on civilians. And often they use cluster bombs, which are forbidden by international law. The second thing that they did is that they fired on Jerusalem right next to the holy places. They sent ballistic missiles that could have destroyed the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Western Wall. The three holiest sites to the three monotheistic religions, they don't care. They're firing on everyone. The third thing they did is they fired in intercontinental ballistic missiles 4,000 kilometers right into Diego Garcia, the American-British base. They can reach now with these ballistic missiles everywhere in Europe, almost everywhere in Europe. I've been warning that for years. The fourth thing that they did is that they shut down the important maritime strait of Hormuz, trying to blackmail the world with oil terror blackmail. Four things that they're doing in 48 hours. And I asked the leaders of the world, the leaders of the free world, the leaders of the moderate states, what more are you waiting for? President Trump has correctly said that Israel, the United States and Israel in this great partnership, we're fighting the battle not only for ourselves, but for all of you. And he asked a simple question, where are you? And it's time to heed President Trump's call, his leadership and his vision, not merely for our sake, but for your sake.
Now, the Israel Daily News team went to Arad, which is sort of a city in the middle of the desert. And when we arrived there, it was a scene. The whole block was decimated, as you can see on your screen from our video. News crews in every language you could imagine were present. There was an enormous hole in the ground, and there were interesting people too. I saw mostly a lot of very Orthodox people and families, as well as some African immigrants, some local Israelis that, and everyone here is Israelis, but I'm talking about more secular Israelis, secular teenagers who looked like they were actually wearing pajamas in the middle of the day. It was wild. To get a picture of the numbers and the damage, let's hear from Dean Elsdund, the police spokesperson who was on the scene directing the press as to where they could shoot video safely.
So here in the scene of Arad, we're talking about significant number because you can see there's significant damage to the infrastructure. We're talking about over 88 individuals, civilians, some of them children, that were medically evacuated late last night into early this morning in various conditions.
We had a tough time getting locals to speak to us, but we did get some cute young kids to share a few comments. I asked them some questions that they did their best to answer. Let's hear from them.
Like, the window, it's, you know,
shaking?
Yes. And it's so scary. It's hard. It's not easy, but okay, it's the life now.
That was scary, like a lot. I was like starting to cry. I just like tried to be like happy, not to be scared. I'm scary, but I try to keep us calm. People now don't have home. It's not good.
We then moved on to the next location, which was Dimona. This is a unique community because in addition to born and raised Israeli, there's a very large Black Israelite community, sometimes referred to as the Black Hebrews, many of which originally come from the United States, Chicago, to be precise. So if you recognize a Chi-Town accent, you'd be right. Despite many of the people in my generation that live here from this community have never been to the United States ever, they almost always speak American English with zero accent and are usually abreast to pop culture in the United States as well. That's because their community is very much in tune and in touch with the places that their parents have come from. I posted a clip from this next interview that you're going to see on social media, and I got some comments from intrigued Americans about my interviewees. They said, wow, their English is amazing, so I just wanted to give a little context here. You'll first hear from a young man's grandfather. He insisted on taking his grandfather to the site of the missile attack from their nearby neighborhood because his grandfather has been resisting going into the shelter during attacks, and he wanted him to see what the destruction looks like when an Iranian ballistic missile touches down.
Well, when it hit, you know, we could hear the vibration and the loud noise, and we knew that it was close. You know what I'm saying? But no one imagined this. You know what I'm saying? This is a scene like Tel Aviv or Ramat Gan. You know what I'm saying? I've been here 55 years. And I've never seen nothing like this. And I've been through the 73 war and all the rest of them, but nothing like this, at least this close.
So we came here to see the area, to see how important it is to be in a shelter. It's almost, it feels so unreal because it's like mainly what we've been seeing on the news happening in more of the south and in the north. So to really see it here is actually, I can say the city, the people of the city has been more of a nonchalant attitude because the South never really get hit like this, so now it's really a wake-up call to show everyone how important it is to really be in a shelter. You have 10 minutes to get there, so I think that's the most important thing. The evidence are that no one has died from this incident, and only because everyone was in the shelter.
We also spoke with a man whose wife and kids survived the attack by keeping inside the safe room of their home. However, his wife's front tooth was blown out of her mouth by what I believe to have understood was from the handle or a piece of the safe room window. that flung open and flung across the room. Not that the window flung open, but that perhaps a piece of the window flung across the room when the missile hit outside their window. Now, I understood the scenario because the same thing happened in the safe room I was sheltering in June, when an Iranian missile blew the handle of our safe room window across the room with extreme force. But luckily for the women in the room I was sheltering with, there was no one in that trajectory, so nobody got hurt by that. Let's hear his message about continuing Israel's war until the end.
And during Saturday, it was a lot of alarm. Dorit, she's strict to the rules, and she say that we will not give up and let's go, even if it was the eighth times during the day. And they take the dogs, one of the dogs stay up on the roof. They take the others, two dogs, and they go to the shelter in the corner over there. And that's what saved our life. I drive 1.5 hours to come and see this devastation. But I didn't expect to see all of it, but I've been in the army, so it's not new for me. During the 90s, this neighborhood was destroyed, and we rebuilt this house, those houses. I cannot say it, but yeah, it's not the good idea to stop, because when somebody treat on you and say 47 or 50 years that they're going to demolish Israel, so it's mean to me, it's mean to my wife, to my kids, and to all of us. So we should take it seriously. I think that enough is enough. Stop dealing with us. Iran and all the other proxy, enough. Enough for the Iranian people, enough for the Israeli people. But we will not give them the chance to get to the target that they just direct to it, to demolish Israel. It will not happen.
Did people make it out alive from here?
Yes. We had here approximately 100, almost 100 casualties. Most of them are very light casualties, but three of them were severe and one very difficult one. And the one that lost his leg and like a young kid, 12 years old, was outside. He didn't went to the safe place, the safe room.
This direct Iranian missile strike in Dimona injured some 50 to nearly 80 people, including a 12-year-old boy who is in serious condition. The blast hit a residential area, causing major structural damage, fires, and widespread destruction from the shockwave. You can see all of this in the drone footage we captured with our friend Eli Katzoff. Take a look at your screen.
This scene here, this is the scene of the Iranian ballistic missile impact in Dimona. The entire area is absolutely destroyed. People were in these homes when the siren rang out and people entered into their miklatot, their safe rooms. As you can see, the destruction is widespread, and you can even see the impact of the missile on the ground below us. Residents here are disturbed that they don't have their homes, but they actually say that they believe that Israel and the United States needs to keep doing what they're doing until the war comes to a complete close.
A 60-year-old Israeli civilian named Ofer Moskovitz was killed by an Israeli projectile in Kibbutz Misgav Am near Israel's northern border on Sunday morning. Hezbollah initially claimed responsibility for the strike, but the Israeli military leader said Moskovitz was killed by its own artillery fire, noting early findings of errors in the planning and execution, including firing shells at the wrong angle. No siren sounded before the impact, which blew up Moskovitz's car while he was inside of it. Now we understand why there was no alert. It's because the firing came from Israel. Hezbollah claimed responsibility for the attack initially, saying that it was targeting Israeli soldiers. The Moskovitz family says they are not angry or blaming the soldiers who made this mistake, and ask the soldiers not to be brought down by their guilt. They said they served in the army and they know how difficult it can be. I really wanted to include that in this story because I think it's remarkable. Moskovitz was a veteran avocado farmer. He recently described life on the border as, quote, Russian roulette in a radio interview. We send our heartfelt condolences to the families, communities, and friends. The West Bank, also called Judea and Samaria, got heated up over the weekend as well. An 18-year-old Israeli settler activist, Yehuda Sherman, was killed after a Palestinian vehicle struck the ATV he was riding in the northern West Bank. Israeli police and the IDF are investigating whether the incident was a deliberate attack or a traffic accident. At his son's funeral, Yehuda Sherman called on the government to abolish the Oslo Accords and said he would work to continue his son's legacy by establishing new settlement outposts in the West Bank. Sherman, a longtime religious Zionist activist that is Smotrich's party, described his son's death as part of a broader national struggle. He says he's working to collapse the Palestinian Authority and expand Israeli control over the territory. Tensions escalate as extremist settlers carry out revenge attacks in nearby Palestinian areas. In fact, the IDF is diverting forces from its ongoing ground operation in Lebanon and taking them over to the West Bank to try to contain a surge in Jewish extremist violence against Palestinians. Officials say this marks the first time troops have been pulled from an active front against Hezbollah to deal with internal unrest in the West Bank. It's a big move. Commanders warn they do not have enough forces on the ground to restore order as attacks continue despite prior deployments. The decision requires special approval from Prime Minister Netanyahu after repeated requests from military leadership. The army says the growing violence is harming Israel's security and warns that without broader government and law enforcement support, it cannot fully control the situation. Before we finish today's show, I want to leave us off with some exciting Israel Daily News updates. Our channels and followings are growing rapidly and increasing every day overnight. Our TikTok page has more than 8,000 followers. Our Israel Daily News Instagram page has more than 59,000 followers. We went up 1,000 followers almost overnight. My personal Instagram is really close to filling 10,000 followers, and our YouTube page has 660 followers, which for YouTube is actually a really big deal to achieve, so I'm very proud of that. Follow us on social media at israeldaily.news. We upload all the latest footage from Israel and clips for our shows. We have original content here from the field. It's fresh. You can also follow my personal page at Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can find more personal content about what my life is like on a day-to-day basis on that page, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2025. Tel Aviv has a low of 12 degrees Celsius and a high of 18 degrees. That's 54 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 64 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll on down to the bottom and drop your email address in there. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week. Stay sharp, everyone. Shavua Tov.